Well, as you know, we serve a mighty Father. And I want to just rejoice that God knows what he's doing, but I do have a press for the Amplified tonight. So there was a real strong word this morning about going to Colossians. So the book of Colossians, the letter from Paul to Colossus. So if you have your Bible with you, go to Colossians. And I kind of skip through it. We're going to be in chapter 1. I don't know how far we're going to go. That's up to the Lord. Amen? In chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 1 because it's speaking about Paul, an apostle or a special messenger of Christ Jesus the Messiah by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints, the consecrated people of God, and believing and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Chicopee. Grace, all right. Grace, spiritual favor and blessing to you, and heart peace from God our Father. We continually give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah as we are praying for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, parentheses, the leaning of your entire human personality on him. I love that part. The leaning of your entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints, God's consecrated ones. What are saints? God's consecrated ones. These are the ones he has chosen. And you know, there are times in our walk with God that we think he made a mistake, because I can remember several times when one of our ladies said to her sister, "Why didn't you bring me earlier?" And I'm not divulging any names, but her hunger was really that, like, you stole something from me. And I remember responding, God's timing was right on time. And we don't understand that sometimes, but you know, as one of our other ladies tonight was giving a picture of a little boat, if you will go into my office, young lady, right now, and you will find that there's a mirror on the back wall, and there's something there that you need to bring back. Because she doesn't have a clue how important her word is. You see it?
I see it.
Bring it with you. What does it say on there?
It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
Would you turn it around so that people can see it?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Okay. Now, had you ever seen that before?
No.
Leave it on the altar. You know why? Because there was a press to put it out there this morning, or this afternoon, and I didn't do it because I didn't get a second message. So, why am I doing that? Because this was a gift that came from my sister-in-law. They were in Pensacola, Florida at the time going to Bible school or evangelistic school with the great anointing that was down there. And I can't tell you the exact date, but it was about this time of the year. And I get a package in the mail. And I hadn't Well, I had a lady that was working on the prayer line at the time, because this is at the other church. And that little lady had a word for me. And she said, God's got a plan, Kim. God's got a plan. Okay? And you've seen her visit here periodically. Her name is Carrie. So we can advertise and talk about Carrie behind her back, because this is nothing new for her. She was obedient to the Lord. A few days later, she says, Kim, I got a word this morning. I got a word this morning. And she's all excited. She's not touching the ground. She's about 3 feet off the ground. And she's jumping up and down. And she says, I know where it came from. I know what God's plan is. I says, you do? Wonderful. So I had an appointment coming in. So I said, we can't communicate, but what's the scripture? So I jotted down on my calendar, like I have on my desk, Jeremiah 29:11, because that's what she told me. And off she went back to work in the other room. The mailman comes around 1 o'clock, whatever, and there's this box. Okay? And I haven't had any time to myself. I didn't even have time for lunch. And so the mailman comes and he's got a box. And so inside the box is that little gift from my sister-in-law, paid for by my brother reluctantly, because it was expensive, because that's a piece of marble.
Oh, marble? Just a little bit.
What you don't know is I have another one of those.
Do you?
Yes. That was sent to me several years later from another lady in Florida. With another saying, but I'm not going to go there just yet.
They shop at the same gift shop.
I have no idea. I don't believe it's the same gift shop. But anyway, to make a long story short, I read that and I began to cry, and I couldn't stop crying, because now I've got two messages, one confirmed, written on my calendar. I've got this one coming in, and I know that God is about to do something. That's in 1992. In 1992, that was before Christmas, we kept getting visions of a little ship, and it was on a lake. And we couldn't see anything about it except that it was being, had some soldiers on it, I think. And it took several months. And a few months later, as the visions kept increasing, finally there was a Canadian flag on one of them, and the other one was an American flag. So those two ships had an important message, because the Canadian ship was of the vintage that you're speaking of. And the ones that we had were colonial days, also, both ships. And we had soldiers that were dressed up like Minutemen with their full regalia. And the Canadians were actually folded over the edge of the ship, ready to die. And God, in the beginning of April, on a Monday morning, we got the vision on a Friday night during the intercession about, oh my God, Lord, we now know this ship is the Canadians are in trouble, because it had a red maple leaf on the flag. We knew the lake had to be Lake Champlain on Monday. Humphrey Magog. Got the wrong one. So that's another lake east of Champlain. And we ended up ministering at a hotel in the beginning of May with Linda and her husband, Chuck, Mom, my brother and his wife, etc., etc. And we ministered there for a weekend because that lady called. She had had a cancellation of her main speaker, and somebody there had given her a card. I had ministered in a church up in Sherbrooke, and this was in the city of Magog, right on the lake, and the hotel was the Hotel on the Lake or something like that. Big, and it was about maybe, 300 to 500 people for breakfast, and we ended up ministering till 4 in the afternoon. So God knew that we were going to bring life to the Canadians, and it was from a ship. Now I can tell you that I do know that the Lord was really birthing the House of Prayer at that time because of the dream that came in 1992 that Chuck never shared with me. But he gave me the tape. And, of course, the rest is history. But why am I doing this? Because I'm trying to get you to see God's coordinates are not man's. They're on time with him, not on time with us. Because we question constantly, and during those times that those visions were coming, just like you got tonight there, another piece to your puzzle because a dream came several weeks ago. All right? Watch now. For we have heard of your faith, verse 4, in Christ Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on him, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the love which you have and shown for all the saints, God's consecrated ones. When the phone rang on Monday, and that Monday was, like I said, I believe it was in April, first beginning of week, you know, it could have been the end of March too. And this lady had such broken English, and she was trying so hard to communicate with me, and I said to her, would it be easier if we spoke in French? And to make a long story short again, she started to cry. She says, you mean you speak French? And I said, yes. And so I said, she said, nobody told me you spoke French. I said, well, I do. She says, well, I have a problem. She says, my main speaker for this big conference that's happening in Magog on the lake. And when she said, on the lake, instantly I saw the vision of the ships. And I said, can I hold you right there? She says, what's that? I said, what's the date that you have this meeting for? She told me the date. I looked at my calendar. I said, we'll be there. And she started to cry, and she says, I didn't know. I said, well, God knew. And I explained to her the whole thing, and it took about 20 minutes to explain that God had already prepared us, and we would go down with two cars, and we did. Two carfuls went, and we ministered to the saints in Canada. So we brought them back to life. That was our commission, to give them life. So you see, visions have a meaning. You had no clue. Your little ship is growing. I believe that's the House of Prayer. And we'll do what God calls us to do and called us to be. Notice again. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus the Messiah, by the will of God, not by the will of men, and Timothy our brother, to the saints, consecrated people of God, and believing and faithful brethren in Christ, who are at Chicopee. Yes?
Amen.
All right. Grace, spiritual favor and blessing to you, and heart peace from God our Father. We continually give thanks, etc. Are you catching on to what I'm trying to give you? Now, why would he choose us to grow and mature?
Why not us?
Why not us? Thank you. He chooses according to what? Why does he choose and where does he choose? He chooses according to what he has planned. Notice again, not by the will of men, but by the will of God, that Paul is doing what he's doing. Amen? Okay. Now we're going to skip over several areas, and we're going to go to verse 11. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. So that tells you how you develop your patience, with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control. Don't you love this part? Out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So you and I have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and of his love. Verse 14, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. So what happened to your sins? They're under the blood. Now, he is the exact likeness of the unseen God. Try that one on for size. Say, Jesus is the exact likeness of the unseen God. If you don't have an amplified Bible, close your eyes. Say, now. He is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him that all things were created. In heaven, which is the kingdom of heaven, and on earth, things that are seen, and things that are unseen, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him. By his service, intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things coexist, cohere, are held together. He is also the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone is in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first and be preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of his divine perfection, power, and attributes should dwell in him part-time. Oh, your Bible says permanently? Mm-hmm. So does mine. But sometimes because we waver, we think God's a part-timer. He might show up just from 11 to 7. And we're on duty from 3 to 11.
That's us wavering, not him.
Yeah, thank you. See, that's why sometimes, you know, we think, oh, well, I can do this on my own. I can be a Christian in my corner. But the Lord says you are one body. I didn't say it. If you have a problem, check out the scripture. You know? And people have this odd idea that they can mature on their own. It doesn't work. Okay? Verse 20. And God's purpose that through by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him the Father made peace by means of the blood of his cross. So is God still angry at the earth? Is he angry at his creation? No. Yet we have people who believe that God goes around punishing people. Wrong. But he does have a plan. And I can tell you, there are times that I've seen things happen. And God will not be fooled or mocked.
Amen.
Okay? Those who have attitude and don't have the ability to come to the place where they can receive from God, he will give them an awesome lots and lots and lots of grace. But at some point, there will be a change. And I'm not the one that's in control of that. But you see, the Lord knows how much grace he's given and the purpose for their lives. So there is also a reality that we need to be trusting the Lord with their life as well as ours. And sometimes we make a mistake because we see them go off and do and be and maybe getting hurt. Well, that getting hurt could be because of self. And I'm not accusing anybody because I've been there. And I can remember having a major injury in my heart. And it was done by believers. And I said to the Lord, I can't go on anymore.
Amen.
I don't know what else to say. I just can't. And you know what? He was with me through the whole trial. Mm-hmm. I can remember calling Pastor Jay and saying, do you have some time? And he said, yes. And when are you coming? And I said, well, if it's okay, I'd like to do this coming weekend. And so I called Pinecrest at the time, and I asked for a room, and the lady says, there's no conference going on this week. I said, I'm not going for a conference. I'm going to be alone. And so she says, but there's really nothing happening. So she's accustomed to only renting rooms when there's something happening. I said, well, there is for me. And so, as God would have it, I ended up in upstate New York, spending 3 days and three nights. And on my way home, I realized that the message was under my seat. All the scriptures that I needed, I had purchased a cassette tape up in Vermont at the feast. And Pastor Jay gave me the exact same message. I had never listened to the cassette. It was in a box. And on my way home, I listened to the cassette, and it was the exact same message. Submit and humble yourself. Submit and humble yourself. Take nothing with you to try to survive. How many know we like to take things that are comfortable to try to survive? Mm-hmm. And that can be a multitude of different things for different people. Now close your eyes. Say, my Savior.
My Savior.
My healer.
My healer.
My creator.
My creator.
He's alive.
He's alive.
And more important than anything else.
And more important than anything
else. He's inside of me.
He's inside of me.
By his spirit.
By his spirit.
And he's got a purpose.
And he's got a purpose.
An extreme purpose.
An extreme purpose.
To perfect me.
To perfect
for his own glory.
For his own glory.
And I'm willing.
I'm willing.
Let it be done to me.
According to your will.
For you have a plan.
It's an awesome plan.
To save and heal.
And prosper me.
Along with the church.
So let your plan unfold.
And be glorified.
And be glorified.